All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're very happy today to be joined by Tim Gooden, who is a CFMU delegate. And we have him on our program today to kind of actually have a bit of a good kind of discussion about, I guess, the cost of living crisis and, I guess, the current sort of workers' fight back. As I mentioned before, there were these big protests organised by the big industrial unions, which the CFMEU is a part of, on Wednesday, which drew like tens of thousands of workers campaigning against the cost of living crisis and corporate greed. Good morning, Tim.
Well, good morning, comrades. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
So I guess I want to kind of start off, Tim. I mean, what can you tell us, I guess, to give a bit of an overview, what has, I guess, been the sort of impact, I guess, on this current cost of living crisis on ordinary workers, especially those within the construction industry?
Oh, well, I think it's the same right across the board. Obviously, those with a mortgage are feeling it. They've gone up $500 a month for some of them over the last 12 months of interest rate increases, but you got to look at, there's a whole range of things that aren't even in the CTI, like licenses. Just to get a license renewal, not even a photograph, has gone up $100, so it's $300 this year. A little car insurance is a third party registration's $800. Then there's your rates. A lot of people are paying $2,500-$3,000 of rates. So in any one month, without electricity bills or telephone, you could be forking out $2,000-$3,000 a month, and that's not even including the kids' school fees, clothing, food, etc. So it's rapidly increasing right across the board. And privatisation, like I mentioned, registration and licensing before, that's all been privatised in Victoria, and all those things are just creeping up on workers and hitting them pretty hard.
And yeah, and I guess what can you, and following, I guess, some of the kind of big kind of protests which you kind of participated in as a union delegate, one of the kind of big focuses for this protest, and I guess especially in the context of this cost of living crisis and the fact that wages, I guess, have been kind of stagnant, what can you, I guess, tell us about some of the anti-union laws that have not been reversed to date by the Albanese government and by which this was a big focus of some of the protests that happened on Wednesday?
Oh, look, there's dozens of them that have been brought in over the years by the Liberals. And I was really pleased to see John Sector saying up on the podium at the beginning of the rally that there's personal orders or fines that are still there, that individuals can be fined for taking action, and nobody can help them pay for that. They've got to try and do it themselves. That's always been there by the Liberals to intimidate people. But our entry into workplaces is still illegal. All the old cases of the ABCC, they're all still going. So there's a whole range of issues. It's harder for workers, even under the new laws, to take protected action. You've got to jump through more hoops. They've got to go before the full bench of the IR Commission. That's been stacked with rich Liberal mates over the years, and they're not going to give us any pay increases. And I had a couple of workers say to me, "Oh, but you know, how does taking, you know, we go on strike, we leave Geelong, go up to Melbourne, we lose a whole 8 hours pay, plus cost of getting up there, etc. How's that help our cost of living?" And I said, "We're not the only ones that we're fighting for. Our partners, our kids, our next door neighbours. Not everyone works in the construction industry, but we're some of the strongest unions around and the most well organised unions around. And there's an onus on us to lead the way. If we're not fighting against the cost of living or for justice or fairness, then who is going to do it? And so what we gain and what we show the way on how to campaign, that benefits all workers as well as us."
Yeah, Tim, just continuing on that note of the strong defending the weak, some of the cynical comments on the CFMEU Facebook page are sort of saying, oh, well, some of these building industry group union members get paid good EBA wages, so why are they out on strike? But it's even within the construction industry or within these kind of building industry group of unions, not everyone is on that EBA site. And as you say, it's about the strong leading the fight, yeah, on behalf of the working class as a whole.
Well, that's it, man. It's no coincidence our action was this week, when there's a whole series of actions by other unions and Victorian Trades Hall, your right to work, union first type people campaigning on the streets for the case that's going before the full bench at the moment, the National Wage case that happens every year. Where we're on 7% across the board, across all awards, including our own. Now, sure, we've got what do you call it, the EBAs that we've been fighting for over the years and maintaining, and we want other people to be able to do the same. So you can't sort of say, oh, look, one group's doing well because they fought for it, and try and pull them down just to make yourself feel better. The way we view things is you've got to fight for what you get. You don't get nothing for nothing. And if we can show the way for how other people can do it, well, then they can join in. Mind you, a lot of these comments come from people in the Industrial Relations Commissioners that are on $400,000 a year. even construction workers can't even dream of that sort of money.
Now, another thing, I saw a speech from the rally, and I think it was a AMWU organiser or delegate representing Visi workers up in Shepparton. Can you tell us a little bit about that struggle? Because that's an example of some of these union members who are not raking in massive wages. They're fighting to get a union EBA up, and it's a tough struggle, and they're not getting paid heaps of money at the moment.
No, that's right. No, they like the laws are for everybody. They've got to get an EBA every 3 years. The bosses try and refuse to contribute to that, and they stall it out as long as they can. Some of them do lockouts. So the busy workers, the AMWU members, have been fighting for quite a few months now, and they've had a number of rallies up there and down in Melbourne. And like all these things, who's still standing on the last day. And when workers do it together, and when they do it together well with the union, we always come out in front. And then the Shepherd and Busy workers will as well.
And one other thing, can you comment historically, there's been a bit of a trend over the last however many decades, when you've got the Labor Party in government, particularly at a federal level, unions tend to be, union leaderships tend to be tied in with and aligned with the Labor Party. They tend to mobilise less during periods of Labor government. So can you comment on the significance of like a pretty substantial national union mobilisation while there is almost wall-to-wall Labor government?
Yeah, look, there is an automatic tendency after years of being under the heel of the Liberal government that whenever Labor gets in, everyone sort of breathes a bit of a sigh of relief and takes the foot off the accelerator and has a bit of a rest in the hope that Labor's going to fix everything up. And they often do give little bits and pieces. They do a little bit in the refugees, they do a little bit for the unions, they do a little bit for the environment. They never go the whole hog, and we're seeing this now with the union laws. There's still refugees stuck. There's still gas and coal mining going on in the environment. So I think it takes about 12 months, 2 years for people to realise, oh, hang on, things aren't improving as quick as we'd like, and we'll have to start campaigning and organising again. And the CFMEU is no fool. They know what laws are up against and what laws prevent us. And they will campaign wherever we can both federally and state, to make sure that the building workers aren't disadvantaged by anti-union laws. And that often means for the CFMEU breaking them to make sure that our members are safe and well-fed.
Yeah, so Tim, I want to go into, I guess, a bit of one, I guess, kind of theme, I guess, that was a common theme at the rally was basically this whole question around wage growth and corporate profits and inflation. Basically, a lot of the kind of speakers basically were very quick to point out, you know, wages are stagnating. And of course, the ACTU is obviously putting a big demand around having a 7% wage increase for low kind of paid workers. But also the fact that you know, the RBA, the Reserve Bank of Australia, is continuously increasing interest rates. Banks are kind of reporting record kind of profits. I want to hear some of your comments on, you know, the kind of campaigns for wage increases by workers, the stagnation of wages, but also, the question of actually what is really driving inflation.
Yeah, look, just first a comment on the rally itself. Wasn't it a great turnout, and didn't workers... weren't workers keen to hear what was going on and how we were going to fight back? I mean, it was a really impressive turnout in the capital city at short notice. Like, this is only, the posters were only put out last week, and workers were only asked to come over the last few days, and they were super keen to get involved and be part of the struggle, because they know in their hearts that we don't cause inflation, we don't cause government debt or companies going broke. The ruling class do that to themselves. Like, the wage growth has been at its lowest for the last 10 years, for decades. The lowest wage growth, even 2 years ago, the head of the Reserve Bank said workers need a pay increase because it's starting to affect consumer confidence and buying power and so on and so forth. And it's just the case that we've got low wage growth and all our industries haven't had pay increases that have kept up with the cost of living, then why has inflation gone so high? I mean, governments have spent billions of dollars propping up and bailing out capitalist governments ever since the 2008 financial crisis, right through to COVID, particularly in America, which flows under here. You can't pretend that we're not part of the world finance system. That's what's fueled the inflation, and that's what's causing the suffering of workers today. And so we need to fight back against all of that. Obviously, to get a pay increase to keep up with the cost of living for the immediate demands, but we also want a fairer system. So why aren't more things freely available through the public service? We've had 30 years, 40 years of privatisation that have taken a lot of those services away. Dental, medical, it's hard to find a bulk billing now. And I know people go, oh, that's the state responsibility, that's the federal responsibility, and they toss and change. But they're very quickly to whip out the money to prop up big business or to spend $365 billion on a couple of submarines just to help the American capitalists maintain economic dominance in the region. So, I think workers need to be more fully educated on all the things that affect our lives. And instinctively, workers know what are affecting our lives and they know we're not causing it. So they need leadership of the trade union movement to steer those campaigns and to bring about more equality and justice for everybody. And then within the workers, there's groups of workers that are even more disadvantaged. Women, migrants, young people looking for apprenticeships. They need even extra campaigns to help pull them up out of poverty as well.
Right. And to kind of conclude, I guess, this kind of interview, What do you think needs to kind of happen next in terms of building a mass kind of workers union, workers movement that can actually reverse reverse these laws and actually fight? I think just one thing I want to read from is at the end of the rally, there was actually a motion kind of put forward by one of the national secretaries that basically it was a motion that basically called on Labor to deal with the cost of living crisis, abolish anti-union laws, and address wage theft. What do you kind of think is the kind of way forward in terms of actually winning those demands?
Oh, I think we've got a very good chance. The best thing that we can do is to continue to lead the way as we did with the rally. Then there needs to be more information material, more actions around the place. And to do that collectively with the various trades halls and the ACTU, so that the other weaker unions that haven't been campaigning for 20-odd years, that they start to get out there with their rank and file and start to bring them along together. We saw what we could do in 2007, and the union movement in Australia has got a massive history. Whether you go right back to the 8-hour day, right back to all the campaigns that we've won, the shorter working week, they told us in year 2000, there's no way you're going to get a 36-hour week in the building industry. There's no way you're going to get a 9-day fortnight. The bosses will never accept it. After 6 months' campaign, we got it, and we've still got it today. Unions can win these things, and we can win them off Labor, particularly, and we can get all the other unions involved if we work on it and not give up. Some of these things take years, but everything has a beginning, and I was really pleased to be part of the beginning last Wednesday in Melbourne.
Word.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Tim. Good, Tim, it's been great having you on our program, and yeah, we're all the solidarity, and we'll get 3CR and Green Left Radio will continue to kind of cover all the kind of stories of workers' struggle and resistance and highlight them in our program. And we're actually going to be doing an interview with a University of Sydney activist to talk about the ongoing strike campaign there. So thank you very much, Tim.
Yeah, cheers, Tim.
No, it was good on your comrades. Keep up the struggle.